Okay, we're in Rambam Hilchos Sefer Torah, Parak Zion. and now we're going to deal with some issues about Sefer Torah that have mistakes and some other halachas insofar as how the Sefer Torah is written. Okay, Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam says, a Sefer Torah she'en amuga. Okay, so let's say you have a Sefer Torah that has a psul. Okay, so enamuga means it hasn't been checked, which means that there's a psul. You can't leave a Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to leave a Sefer Torah that's pasul, just staying in a state of psul for more than 30 days. Either you have fixed the Sefer Torah, or if the amount of mistakes are, too difficult, you put it into Gniza. But either way, you can't just leave a Sefer Torah that you found the mistake in, lying in a state of disuse. Sefer Torah sheishba shalosh toyos b'chol daf edaf. Okay, yisakin v'im hayu arba yiganes. Okay, so per column. Okay, if a Sefer Torah has, on average, okay, three mistakes per column, you could still fix it. But if there are four mistakes per column, then you should put it in Geniza. Which basically what the Rambam is explaining is that there's a certain point where there are so many mistakes in the Sefer Torah that it's just not worth fixing it. You'll see what kind of mistakes he's talking about in a second. V'imhaya rova sefer muga, okay, v'hashar yishbo arba talios b'chol daf. But let's say you actually were able to check through the entire Sefer Torah, and the majority of the Sefer Torah is okay. However, but yet what's remaining is, let's say, on one of the parchments or one of the irios, four mistakes per column. As long as one of the columns left has less than four mistakes, you can still fix it. So again, the formula the Rambam's trying to use is how much does a person have to put in to fix a Sefer Torah versus finally putting into Geniza. Now, this all depends on what kind of mistake, which is what Halacha Yud Gimel is going to tell us. But medvar amurim shekasav hamalei chaser shenimsa tola haosios sheshachach b'nei hashitos. So this is all talking about the types of mistakes where a person wrote a male is a chaser. Because what does he have to now do? If you write a male is a chaser, you now have to start adding letters. And adding letters to a Sefer Torah, within a Sefer Torah, is an extremely difficult thing to do. It's not easy because you have to figure out, will the words still fit? How's the line going to look, etc.? But avalim kasav a chaser male, right? But let's say he wrote the chaser male. Right, I feel yesh b'chol daf daf kama toyos. Let's say there's a lot of mistakes in each column. Harizim misake mishu gorev enatola. So that's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to erase an extra letter and then rewrite the word to be a little bit longer, versus the situation where a person has a missing letter that he now has to add. So basically, the rule of thumb, all right, for Sofrim is that as long as it's we have to look at the kind of mistake. As long as the mistakes are ones where there's an extra letter, then in general, we're very makel. And if it's a case where there's a lot of additional letters after you put in, then we're a little more machmer. You should just know that today, people aren't very machmer about this in general. I recall one year when I was laning, that I laned from a Sefer Torah as for a job when I was younger at a nursing home. And at that nursing home, the Sefer Torah was literally like a compilation of like different sofrims all put together, and it was in really, really bad shape. There was more than three mistakes per column. I'd never seen a Sefer Torah like this. I think it was like a training Sefer Torah. But people are makel about it. So, okay. Halacha Yadal. Mutter lichtov haTorah kol chumash v'chumash v'fnei atzma. Okay. Now, you're allowed, and this is an important halacha, you're allowed to write, and remember, when we're talking about chumash v'chumash, we're talking about on cloth, following the rules of Safras. We're not talking about an artful chumash that you pick up in shul. We're talking about actually writing safer bracious on cloth as a sofer would do it. So you're allowed to do that. Ve'im hen kedusha sefer Torah. So this chumash, this, let's say, sefer bracious, right, does not have in it kedusha sefer Torah. Aval lo yichtov megillah b'fnei atzma shi'a ba'parshios. But what you're not allowed to do is, I can't take a scroll, a cloth, okay, and write on it, let's say, Parshas Lech Lecha. That I couldn't do. So the halacha is, when it comes to writing cloths, okay, I can write a cloth of Sefer Bracious, okay, but I can't write on one scroll, let's say, Parshas Lech Lecha. You're not allowed to do that. Vein kosin Megillah Latinok Lehislamedba. right? And I can't even write the Megillah, this type of thing, in a way to teach kids, okay? Unless v'imdaito l'hashem aleichu mashmutar, unless my intention was to finish the entire, let's say, Sefer Bereishis. So if someone wrote down on, let's say, on a scroll, on cloth, using, again, this is not like what we have today. So that's why we're almost, many people aren't cognizant of this halacha, because there's very little applicability today. We don't have an issue of anybody writing these things. We don't have an issue of anyone writing these things on cloth, okay? Only a Sefer Torah. So the halacha is, though, is that if you were to do that, as long as your intention is to finish off the entire Sefer Bereishis, so that situation would be mutter. And finally, he says, Kasav Megillah, right, Shalosh Shalosh Tevos Beshita Achas Mutter. So that the final point, which is a very important point, is that when it comes to writing a pasuk, okay, so, yeah, and I'll explain to you the general halacha and then what he means here specifically. In general, the halacha is that you have to write, let's say a person wants to write a few letters from a pasuk, he's allowed to do it in a way where it's clear that the three letters aren't next to each other. Meaning he has to write it in a manner where it doesn't look like it's coming from a Sefer Torah. All right, so let's say I want to write Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor. I can write Vayidaber here and Hashem here and El Moshe over there. But to write it in a manner where it's on one line, okay, and that's the key. If I write more than three letters on one line, that becomes a problem, okay? This is the source for the question of those who write psukim in an artistic way. Technically speaking, this is a real halacha. There's a question about let's say you write a pasuk to teach kids. So there was a question about writing it. Now again, the Rambam's talking about Megillah, which technically would mean writing it on a scroll using Hebrew letters like a sofer would. But there is a question about writing psukim down, in a normal way, meaning on a straight line. So there is some question whether that's allowed to do today. Okay, halacha tesvav. Now, again, unfortunately, this is one that is also not as popular today. I mentioned in the past that the normal minug to read Haftorah is read from cloth, just like Sefer Torah. Now, today, it is unfortunate we don't do that. It's very nice that shuls have, it's a funny thing, shuls have the five Megillos, right? Most shuls have that today, where they'll have Kohelet, Shir Shirim, Rus, Eicha, and Megillas Esther, right? Megillas Esther is a real Durabanan. The other four are Minhagim. They're a Minhag. There's no Chiyuv to read Kohelet on Sukkos. There is no Chiyuv to read Kohelet on Sukkos, okay? So it is funny that shuls have those things, but they don't actually have, which was real Takana Durabanan, they don't have the cloths for Nevi'im and Kesuvim in their entirety. Okay, meaning, what should happen is that after you finish leaning the Torah on Shabbos, so the Haftorah should be laying from a cloth as well, and not from what's called the Haftarta. That's also something that became a little popular. Haftartas are cloths that only have the Haftorahs on them. It's a cool thing. It'll have like... It'll say like Haftorah's Bracious in Safra's Ksav, and then the Sofer writes Haftorah's Bracious, and then Noach, etc. So that's not done today. So that's why also we're not sensitive to this halacha. But the halacha actually is that you're allowed to write a Torah, a Tanakh, as one large scroll. That'd be mutter to do. It'd be pretty impressive for someone to do that. But you're allowed to write. Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim is one scroll. Umeniach b'chol chumash v'chumash arba shitin. Okay, and you have to leave a space of four lines empty, right, within separating each of the five books of Moshe. Ubein kol navi navi shlosha shitin, and you have to leave three lines empty between each sefer Nevi'im. Ubein kol navi v'navi mishneim asar. Now, what about the treyasar? Right. So between them, shalosh shitim shim balachto choseh. Now, between the treyasar, you also should leave three empty lines in case you want to separate them out. The siduran shel Nevi'im kachu, which I think I know my kids, when they come home, there's a song they sing to this. But the order of the Nevi'im is as follows, which you all know, Yehoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim. Notice, by the way, the idea of Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis, and Melachim Aleph and Melachim Beis is a false concept. It's Shmuel and Melachim. Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Yishayahu, Treyasar. And then by the Ksuvim, Rus, Tehillim, is important to know, Rus, Tehillim, Eov, Mishle, Kohelesh, Shir Hashirim, Kinos, okay, which is Echa, what's really called Kinos, Daniel, Megillah, Ezra, and Divrei Yamim. It's interesting also that it's called Megillah, which is Esther. Ezra and Divrei Yamim. Ezra including Nehemiah. Okay. Finally, he says, Melacha Tazayin, Kol Kisvei HaKodesh, which we know this already, Ein Koser Nosan Ela B'Sirtut. Okay, you always have to write them in a straight line. Afilu Katsvan Ala Niyar. So even, and again, this is what we said before, even if you write it on a piece of paper, Umutr Lichtov Shlosh Tevos Below Sirtut, now you can write three letters without a straight line. Yosar Zeh Aser. Okay, so now think about that for a second. There's a shul that I daven at, and in that shul that I daven at, not here in Wisconsin, but back in Eretz Yisrael, when you look at the stained glass windows, you would notice that there are lines from what do you call it, from a Torah Sukkim that are not written Besirtut. Okay, there are more than three letters. They're not written on a straight line. They are written like in this curvy way. That's usher. Not even a question. It is usher. It's usher to write psukim, okay? To write a pasuk more than three letters without sirtut, which means it has to be in a straight line. So like I was saying before, if you're teaching, let's say you're teaching kids, and you're writing something, you're writing a pasuk on the board, it has to be done in a straight line. Krach zesh yeshbo Torah devim uksuvim, ein kudushaso kudushas sefer Torah, ela kuchumash min kuchumashim, din hetar k'din chaser. It's interesting. So when you write a scroll, right, that actually has Tanakh in it, actually has less Kedusha than a Sefer Torah on its own. It's treated like a Chumash rather than an actual Sefer Torah. So someone wanted to know why, why does it require Sirtut? Because that's the way the Torah was presented. Meaning, when you write a Pasuk, right, the idea is that you should never be able to write any pasuk from the Torah without it, in a sense, reflecting what it looks like in the Sefer Torah. You're not just presenting words, you're presenting it in the manner that it was written. So that seems to be the basis for that halacha. Okay, parakhas. Now, we're not going to do this entire parak. Sure. Okay, so in this parak, there's a lot of stuff here. There's a long parak, but we're not going to go through the whole thing because the Rambam actually is going to go through the entire Sefer Torah, letting us know where Psuchas and Stumas are, as you'll see in a second. But it's a very fascinating, this is also one of the most, there's one halacha coming up, which is one of the most famous of all the halachas the Rambam has in the Mishnah Torah, which we should get to today. So halacha Aleph, he says it is, Parsha Psucha Yishla Shtei Tzura. So remember, Psucha means where you start the next section in the beginning of the line. And stuma is where it's in the middle of the line. So for those who've seen the inside of a Sefer Torah, you'll always notice that a new section, a psucha new section means beginning of the line, and a new stuma section means the middle of the line. So by parsha psucha, there are two forms to it. Im gamar be'emsa hashita, let's say I finish the line of the previous section in the middle of the line. Okay, miniach shar shita panoi, I leave the rest of the line empty. U'maskil, excuse me, a parsha shehi psucha mitchil shita shniya. And then what do? I start the next section at the beginning of the second line. B'medvar amurim shenishar minei shita revach kishir teisha osios. That's only if I have at the end, a space at the end of the line of nine letters. Ava imlo nishar ela ma'at, right? But let's say I only have a small amount of space left at the end of the line. O im gamar besofa shita. Or let's say I finish. In other words, I actually write to the end of that line. Miniach shita shniya below ksav. It's very intuitive. What I would do is that I would leave an empty line and then start the third line as now my psucha, because it has to be nicker, that it has to be recognizable that it's a new section. So basically the rule of thumb is as follows. If I have enough room, if I finish in the middle of the line, then I can start the next section at the beginning of the next line. But if there's a small amount of space, or no space, so to speak, at the end of the line, then I have to actually leave a line empty, right? And then start my Parsha Psucha afterwards. And halacha beis is by parsha stuma. So it's by parsha stuma yishlosh shlo tzura. So there's three forms. Im gamar b'emsa shita meniach reva chashir maskal lichto b'sova shita teva achas. Now this is important. Mitchlil sa parsha she stuma ad she matza reva b'emsa. So let's say I finish in the middle of the line. So what do? I leave a space, right? All right, and then I start the next section at the end of the line because it's a stuma. Stuma doesn't always have to be dafka in the middle. It just means there's a space, okay, between the, what do you call it, the beginning of the line, the middle line and the end of the line. So as long as there's that, as long as I see at the end of the line a word, and then there's a space, okay, and then let's say the previous pasuk, that's fine. Let's say there's not enough space. Right, let's say it's not enough to make one word at the end of the line. Yaniach kol panoi, leave that entire line empty. There's that half empty. Yaniach ma'at revach meros shita shnia. I indent a little bit on the second line. And then I would start writing it from the middle of that line. And then gamar b'sofa shita, right? Miniach mitchil shita shnia kashir revach umas lichtov astuma memsa shita. And if I finish the previous line completely, I leave a little space in the next line and start the stuma. So nimsa sheomer sheparsa psucha tchilasa b'tchilas hashita la'olam uparsa stuma tchilasa memsa shita olam. The rule of thumb is this very simple thing, that parsa psucha starts at the beginning of the line, and stuma starts somewhere in the middle. All right, so now the Rambam says, now comes the things that are actually puzzle, okay? And then comes halacha da'at. So halacha yomai says, sefer she'eino muga, right? M'malei v'chaser, efsha tachno l'giya b'kamo shebyarner. So if there's a sefer that has malei and chaser mistakes, you can fix it like he explained in the previous parak. Aval im ta berevach ha'parshios, but if you made a mistake in the spacing between the sections, the kasa psucha stuma stupa psucha, and you mess these things up, okay? The psucha stuma, or o shehifsik v'niach panoi b'makom she'ein bo parsha, right? Or let's say you left an area empty, right, without a parsha, o shekasa kedarka v'lo hifsik v'rebak b'makom b'parsha. Basically, you're messing up the spacing between parshios. O sheshina tzuras ashuras, which is also important. If you didn't write the shiras hazinu or shiras hayam properly, that's puzzle. Harei ze puzzle. V'ein lo takana. El lasalek is called daf shetabo. There's no fixing it. Rather, you have to remove the column in its entirety. So these are much more serious offenses. And now comes halacha dald, which is definitely considered one of the most famous halachas in the Rambam. Ulefi shira'iti, shibus gadol b'chol asfarim shira'isi v'dvarim elu. So it turns out the Rambam did in his framework a certain amount of research, and he found a tremendous amount of confusion among the ways Sifrei Torah were being written. Okay? So let's keep that in mind. Again, the Rambam is saying, okay, and we're talking about one of the earliest Rishonim, that when he looked at various Sifrei Torah, he found a tremendous amount of confusion. V'chein balei ha-mesorah, shekosven u'mecharbim lehodia ha-psuchos v'hastumos, nechlokim b'dvarim elu, b'machlokes asfarim shesomchen aleim. Okay? And the balei mesorah, right, who were responsible for writing passing along the information of where the psuchos and stumas are located, we're having debates about this stuff. That's a serious issue, okay? That means that, you know, there was a tremendous amount of upheaval insofar as accuracy of psuchos and stumas. Now, he's not saying there was an issue insofar as the text or the content is concerned. That he's not saying that at all. What he is saying is that the specific method of creating the breaks and separations between parshios, there was a big machlokas about it, which is the defa corruption of the Mesorah. So what did the Rambam do? So he says, Ra'isi lichtov, hine kol parshios haTorah, hastumos v'apsuchos, v'tzuras hashiros. So the Rambam took it upon himself to write in the Mishnah Torah, which is the next few halachas, which we're not going to do, all the stumos and psuchos, as well as the actual tzura, meaning the appearance, right, of Hazinu and Shira Sayam and Az Yashir, which you won't see this in the Bar Ilan version, but if you look at the more traditional texts of the Rambam, you can see how he actually wrote it out. Why? Kedei l'sakin aleim kol asfarim alagia mehem. So the Rambam felt that his version, right, the way he writes it, will be the objective version. And everyone from that point on, this is the one that they should use, meaning in the Mishnah, remember, the Mishnah Torah is the Sefer that if someone has in their pocket, they know exactly what to do as a Jew. So for Sofrim, they could turn to the Mishneh Torah and say, okay, well, this is where all the Stumos and Psuchos belong. Okay, now, how did he know this? The Sefer Shesamachnu Alav, B'dvarim Elu, okay? Which Sefer Torah was this? Hu HaSefer HaYadua B'Mitzrayim. Okay, this is the Sefer Torah that is known in Egypt. Shehu Kolel Arba V'Esrim Svarim. Shahaya, that is the complete 24 books of Tanakh. Shahaya B'Yushalayim. Mikama Shanim. Lehagia Mimenu HaSvarim. Okay, so basically, he's referring to, well, I'll get to what he's referring to in a second, but this Sefer, this Tanakh in Egypt was based on the 24 texts that were in Jerusalem, that were there for many years, that were checked, okay? The Olav Hayua Kol Somchem, and everyone relied on this Sefer, Lefi Shehigiu Ben Asher, okay? This is the only time in the entire Mishneh Torah, the only time that the Rambam ever cites, so to speak, a halachic person, okay? Ben Asher. So Ben Asher was a Sofer, and I'm not going to get to the academics behind this. There's a big, if Judah's listening, this is up his alley, but there's a big debate about who Ben Asher was. Some claim he might have actually been a Karaite. Historically, where he lived, he was definitely in Tveria. I'm not going into that. But the point is, the Rambam felt that there was this one scribe, Ben Asher, who had a Sefer Torah, okay, or Tanakh, right, that was without the standard to use, which was the most accurate one to base the entire Sefer Torah off of. V'diktek bo shanim harbe, v'igio palmin rabos, k'moshe tiku. Okay, so, and he checked it very carefully. And this, so this, Ben Asher, his writing, right, his checking of it becomes the standard that we, that the Rambam felt that we must use to determine the accuracy of Psuchos and Stumos. The Olav Samachti b'Sefer Torah, Shekasafti Kol Chaso. And it's on his Sefer Torah, the Rambam saying, that I relied on when it came to writing my Sefer Torah. So Ben Asher's Sefer Torah becomes the, what do you call it, becomes the standard bearer. Now what is considered, now the rest of the, we'll finish up here, all these halachas he goes through every Psuchos and Stumos in the entire Sefer Torah. And the end, at the end of the parachas, he says, Kol Torah kula bein b'shiros bein b'shar k'sav, okay? Yiskavein shetia os smucho lechaverta b'yoser v'lo tidbak ba v'lo tisracha k'mena k'desh lo tisra hateva k'shnei tevos, right? Okay, so what he says is for the entire shira, whether it be the shiros, excuse me, for the entire Torah, whether it be the shiros or the rest of the k'sav, a person has to be careful. He has to have in mind to be very careful that each word be next to the word, the letter next to it. Excuse me. Each letter be next to its neighboring letter, okay, in a perfectly symmetrical way. You don't want it to be too close, because if it touches, then you have a problem. But you don't want it to be too far away as well. Why? Because you never want one word to appear like two words. Ela ye bein os os l'chotas ara. You want the thickness of a hair between each letter. V'mehirchik os m'os. Kidei shetira hateva kishtei tevos latinok she'eno ragil hareza pasla shaytakin. Now this is a very famous halacha. If there's enough space between the two letters, that now it looks like there's two separate words. Okay, that now based on what standard that a child who obviously can read, right, but isn't familiar, has no familiarity with what he's reading, would look at that and say that like looks like two words, then the Sefer Torah is pasul. Okay. That's why